A Door Ajar on the Top Floor. Written by Feral Phoenix. Read by Crimson Moon. Summary. Frisk wakes up in a familiar place. You taste iron at the back of your mouth for just a moment, or think you do, as you wake. You run your tongue along the backs of your teeth, and then swallow. The taste is gone. Maybe you just dreamt it. The surface beneath your hands is soft, but something about it feels off, wrong, somehow. You don't remember what you were doing before you fell asleep. Maybe you were up late working, and someone carried you to bed. Someone? Who?
I'm so sorry,
a small voice says in the back of your head. A voice that you don't think you're supposed to recognize, but that you do anyway.
I'm so sorry, Frisk.
There is an unformed question in the haze of your mind, but you can't pull it together out of the mist. You don't remember what you've been doing or even where you are. Your memories are in pieces. Unease tugs at you like you tug on someone's sleeve for attention, sending ripples of worry through the serenity that cradles you like the warm embrace of someone you trust. You crack your eyes open just enough to squint, and your field of vision floods with golden light. The shock that hits you is a... You can't finish the thought. It's dangerous, but it bowls you over. You lurch upright, nearly falling when your center of balance isn't where it should be, and faceplant in the flowers when the arms you flail out to catch yourself are too short. You're wearing a blue sweater with pink stripes, old shorts, tights, and boots. Your right wrist is throbbing, clumsily wrapped in a bloodstained bandage. This place is... You're in the...
Do you know who I am?
The voice in your head asks. Your skull sears with pain, like it's gonna split apart. Because you shouldn't know, and yet. Oh, and yet. You definitely shouldn't have a face to go with the voice. Red eyes, warm and sleepy. Red-brown hair, soft, flyaway. Pale cheeks that flush pink at the slightest provocation. A too wide, awkward smile. That voice shouldn't even be speaking to you now. Its owner should still be curled into you, not quite awake yet, only becoming fully alert once you've left this room and entered the ruins and met Flowey and Toriel and...
Kara,
you say, or try to. Your voice barely comes out. It's nothing but a feeble rush of air. You press your two small hands to your face. That's right. This is back when you hadn't talked in so long. You barely could anymore. You can feel their relief. The sensation of being embraced intensifies, like they're doing their best to squeeze you to their chest. But under that pure, bright feeling is something else. Something cloying. They're guilty about something. You reset. You think at them.
I'm sorry,
is all they say back.
Why did you... How could you reset?
You're scrambled up inside, bereft. But under the numbness, you can start to feel anger building. After all these years? We were happy. Mom and Dad and Sans and Papyrus and Undyne and Alphys and everyone.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Kara's words run into each other. The feeling of them hugging you drops away, and you can sense them starting to sort of curl away from you. Like they're scared you'll hurt them.
I didn't mean to, I swear. I panicked. I couldn't even think about going on like that. And then I just sort of... It just happened. Please believe me. Believe me. I'm sorry, Frisk. I'm sorry.
You don't know what else to do. So you put a hand over your own chest. rub at your heart to soothe the pain there, even though it's theirs that's breaking, not yours.
I'm mad, but I won't hurt you. What's going on?
Kara says nothing for a long while.
And you keep rubbing the spot over your heart until they stop sobbing.
You hear them draw a long breath and then exhale.
Frisk, do you remember what happened?
You shake your head.
I can't even remember much after we left the underground anymore. Just flashes of everybody happy. Growing up together with you and Asriel.
A pang.
We were going to go to college together and everything. Frisk, there was...
Ghostly fingers grip your hand, stroking the ridge of your knuckles before they fold onto your palm and squeeze.
An accident.
Iron at the back of your throat, being struck by something huge and fast-moving. A brief but terrible pain.
Taste of iron. Iron. Not without you,
Kara is saying, their voice thick with tears.
Won't go on without you. You're the one that taught me. Nobody has to die. Won't accept a world without you in it. I won't. It wasn't on purpose, but I would have done it anyway.
You close your eyes and wrap both arms around yourself. Partly to hug Kara, partly to comfort yourself. You don't know how to feel about what you're hearing.
Well,
you rasp, before you remember. You'll have to retrain your atrophied vocal cords to speak it again, you realize.
And you don't know if you want to laugh or cry. Will Asriel remember? What about Sans?
Kara clings tight to you.
I don't know. We've never had a really reset all the way before. I don't know how this works.
They pause.
If they do remember, I wonder if they'll understand. Maybe they'll still never forgive me.
You take a very deep and shuddering breath. Think of the enormity of the task ahead of you. 8 years is so huge. It was nearly half your life. Your body is too small and so many of your old scars are gone. Maybe for good. And you want to cry like the child you guess you are again now.
Kara, I don't think I can do this again. I know, I'm sorry, I know.
They pause to sniffle. You bury your face in your knees, so that if you leak at all, it'll be hidden in your tights.
But it's better than the alternative. I'm so tired, Kara. Don't!
They cry, nearly hysterical.
Don't give me that now. I won't let you. I love you, okay? Asriel's not my only best friend. You are too. Stay determined, please. I'll do this all 100 million times if I have to. You're only allowed to die when you're all old and happy. Don't you dare give up on me.
You sigh a little. A lot. You chew on your lip.
I know, but I'm really tired.
They're quiet for a bit. Then,
let's just go see Flowey and Mom,
they say.
I still remember all the puzzles. I'll help. We can get you some spider don'ts and butts pie, and you can take a nap. And if they know what's going on, I can just get yelled at and everything will be solved way easier.
You don't really want Mom to yell at you, though, you say. You're scared.
I'm not scared.
They bluster back.
Maybe just a little bit, but it'll be okay. We can do this. We've done it before and we can do it again. As many times as we have to, okay?
Exhaustion and grief still weigh your body down. But Kara's is trying so hard to cheer you up that you can't help but smile a little.
Okay, I guess.
They don't answer you in words, but their relief wraps around your whole body like a blanket. If they had, still had, their body, you think their grip on you would probably hurt.
I was scared you'd just want to stay dead,
they say.
I'd still reset for you 100 times, 1,000, 1,000,000. But it wouldn't be the same if you weren't willing to stand up and work with me of your own free will.
You make to reply, then hesitate.
Frisk?
You're not sure you don't want that, and that thought is horrifying. You thought... You'd been so sure that your days of wanting to crawl into the earth and stop breathing were already over and gone. But one mistake, one death, and 8 whole years of your life have winked out, and you're never getting them back.
Frisk, I'm so sorry,
Kara says, and their voice is small and timid, bordering again on tearful.
I just couldn't stand to let you go.
You hug your knees.
I know,
you tell them.
I know you just did the best you could. I'm just kind of overwhelmed.
But I love you too, Kara. And?
I forgive you.
There's a long pause, and if you reach out to them, you can sense their terrified doubt. It's hard to blame them for it, after everything. But it's true. Kara was happy, too. They wouldn't undo everything unless they felt like they really had to. Most of all, it wasn't their fault you died. Butts pie, huh? You say, and giggle sort of feebly. You drag yourself up on achy limbs, taking a few steps for practice. I thought you retired that joke ages ago. It really is terrible.
You're smiling, though,
they reply. You think they sound a little hopeful.
I am,
you admit.
Kara? Yeah? Thank you for being my friend.
They squeeze your hand. You take a deep breath and face the road ahead, gathering up every scrap of determination you still possess. The end. Thank you for listening.